Okay, so it's a page Samach Tes, Simon Yud, Sif Katan Hay. Afilum Era, Lo Shahitzi Minakis Shal Rosh Tchil. Let's say you make a mistake. Now, we learned last week or the beginning of the week, if a person by mistake touches his talis, if you touch your tefillin before the talis, so you are in trouble. You have to put on the tefillin first because Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvahis. So one would suggest that if by mistake you touch the tefillah shel rosh before the tefillah shel, by the way, the singular for one is tefillah, right? You have tefillin, tefillin is plural. That means both a set. Shel yad shel rosh. When you want to refer to just one of the two, it's the tefillah shel yad and the tefillah shel rosh. Not everyone agrees with this idea to refer to each one individually as a tefillah. Some people refer to that even the shel yad alone, they'll call it tefillin. Okay, but in any event, we have here a person is now you might be inclined to believe that if you by accident touch the tefillah shel rosh, you shall put on the tefillah shel rosh first before you put on the tefillah shel yad because of the principle of ein ma'avirin al hamitzvahs. So along comes the kitzer, and this of course same thing in Shulchan Aruch as well. Afilim eraf, it happens by mistake shlo shahutzi min hakitz shel rosh techila. Not only did I actually touch the shel rosh, I took it out of the bag, I undid the ritzus, I took it out of the kiss, and here it is. You can't get better than that. You right? And then you say to yourself, wait a minute, I'm daydreaming. I didn't wake up yet. I'm supposed to first put on the tefillin shel yad before the tefillin shel rosh. So what do you do? Tzarech le'avir al ha-mitzvah. You have no choice. U'manicha mitoch yado, put it down. Put it down on the table. Here he says something which is fascinating. You should cover it, not to embarrass it. It's like challah. No one. This is halach. Not everyone. It's like this one comes to our Friday night. We cover the challos. Why do we cover the challos? Not to embarrass the challah. The challah really is more chashuv. Challah is really more chashuv. Bread is more chashuv. So we really should make the bracha on the challah first. So in order that we should not be an issue of saying the brachos out of order, we cover the challah. Here as well, not to embarrass the tefillah shel rosh, because the tefillah shel rosh to a certain degree has more sanctity. Because the tefillah shel rosh has, why does it have more sanctity? There's different reasons, but one is because there's two of our letters of Hashem's name. Hashem's name is Shin Dalid and Yud, and the Shin is and the Dalid on the tefillah shel rosh, the Shin and the Dalid. This week's parsha is the Dalid. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, I will show you, I will pass before you, and you will see the kesher shel tefillin. So that is the Dalid, and then the Yud is on the Tefillah Shel Yad, so the Tefillah Shel Rosh has more sanctity. So in order not to embarrass the Tefillah Shel Rosh, when you're making the brach on the Tefillah Shel Yad, you have to cover it. It's a fascinating idea. When you're doing this, ideally you should never come into this situation, because you should put the Tefillah Shel Rosh, the Tefillah Shel Rosh shall always be in the Zekel. It should not even be in a situation where there would be a need to uncover it. Where there will be a need to cover it. But in a situation where you by mistake took it already out and it's exposed, and now when you're going to make a bracha on the tefillah shel yad, you're going to be embarrassing the tefillah shel rosh, because really it deserves to go first because it has more kedusha, and it's only due to technical reasons we have to make the bracha on the tefillah shel yad first, but the sanctity of the tefillah shel rosh would be insulted, so we have to cover it. And by the way, our meaning, most of us, I assume you when you make kiddush, you cover the challah because the challah is already there. But Mikar Hadin, you're not supposed to have the challah there altogether. Mikar Hadin, you make kiddush and then you bring the challahs into the table. And that's how it was done in time of Chazal, where they had little tables that you make kiddush and then they bring in the table. Being that today we don't do that, today the table is already set. So the custom has become where your challah is already there, and just that it is covered. But I remember once I was eating somewhere, and they just forgot to bring in the challah. The table was set. I know the challah cover was there, and no one realized that the challah was not under the cover. And they made kiddush very nice. And then the wife of the host, she realized the challah wasn't there. So she was so embarrassed. She felt like, what a charpa. We made kiddush. It wasn't a kosher kiddush because the kiddush was made and the challah wasn't present. And her husband explained to Pumfakir, Talmud Chacham, Pumfakir, this is the way it really is supposed to be. The only reason why we cover the challah is because since today we have tables that are set, and the challah is usually there, and once the table is already there, so you have to have challah on the table. The other reasons why is because the table is already there. And once the table already is there, you already have to have the challah on the table. So you have to have the challah on the table, then the table shouldn't be empty, so then you cover it. But that's not ideal. Ideal, there really shouldn't be the challah. So it wasn't something to be embarrassed of. It happened to work out very well because covering the challah is to take away the embarrassment. It's much better not to put the challah in a situation where there's potential for it to be embarrassed in the first place. And like the tefillin, ideally you don't want to embarrass the tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel rosh are meant to be covered in your be'ah, so they don't see what's going on when you put on the tefillin shel yad. They don't realize they're being insulted by putting on the tefillin, because they're not even present. It's only in the situation where you make a mistake and you take the tefillin shel rosh out of the be'ah and you uncover it, and it's in your hand, and you have to put it down on the table, and now you're going to take out the tefillin shel yad, and you're going to make the bracha on the tefillin shel yad. Now will the tefillin shel rosh be embarrassed? Doesn't need to be covered, but you don't want to put it in that situation. V'yechase osa be'ezer davar. Not many people know this halacha. They have to cover it. You got to cover it with something. Then v'yaniach tefillin shel yad on the tefillin shel yad. And why? What's the technical reason why we make a bracha on the tefillin shel yad first? V'kevin dekdima shel yad l'shel rosh hu minat toira shenemar. It's the order of the pasuk k'shar. Tom laos al yodecha v'hayu l'totofos b'nei necha l'vicha, therefore ein mashkichem al ha'avaras ha'mitzvah b'zeh, therefore we don't pay, it's not called b'maver al ha'mitzvos, because we must follow the technical order of the pasuk shal yad first and then shal rosh, so therefore you have to be b'maver al ha'mitzvos. Let's see over here what it does over here in the kit.
This situation happens maybe once or twice in a lifetime. It's not the usual situation.
Well, it depends for who.
Ever. You just automatically go to the left. That's
it's mathematician. Their minds are very misuder.
I'm not saying no, but it's not going to happen something often. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what it says over here on the side. Okay, now let's go to a worse scenario. The Sha'odim Mitzionim has even a worse scenario. Very two lines. Yitzayin. V'im Shachach Kvar Hiniach Shal Rosh Tchila. It gets even worse. You think it couldn't get worse than this? You already put on the Tfilin Shal Rosh. And then you say to yourself, what did I do? I'm missing the Tfilin Shal Yad. So what do you do now? Ein tzarech lehasira, you don't take it off. You just make a bracha on, you make a bracha on the tefillin shel yad, lehaniach tefillin. We're assuming you made the right bracha al mitzvahs tefillin shel rosh, and that's it. Even though you've done out of order, it's not ma'akev. Don't take off the shel rosh and make another bracha. Leave it on and put on the tefillin shel yad. That is an important halacha. Not everyone knows halacha. If you don't know these halachas, you'll ask someone, what do you do? I put on the tefillin shel rosh. Should I take it off? Put it on? Go in order? No. You keep it on and just put on the tefillin shel yad and make a new bracha on the tefillin shel yad. Okay, next. Lo yeh davar chaytzei tzbein tefillin lebesor. This is davar poshet. There may not be any chatzitza between the tefillin and your body. That includes the shel rosh and the shel yad. Lo yishna shel yad v'lishna shel rosh. U'soros k'tsoros lo yehan chatzitza. What about your hair? Why isn't your hair a chatzitza? The answer is it's natural. It's natural for hair to grow on your head. Therefore, that's not called a chatzitza. Shadar kamikach. Aval oysan ha megalim b'loriyos. Long hair, long, what's it, chops? Long hair.
Ponytail.
So here it says, Milvan Shehu Derech Shachatz V'Gaiva. Powerful words. The Mishnah Berurah says the same thing. Besides that, it's called, Shachatz means disgusting and arrogant. Scary words. V'yesh B'ze Isser. And there's a prohibition. Yesh oid isum yishum hanochas tefillin, dekevin shegedolim harbe havyun chatzitza. So this is the opinion of the Kitzer and the Mishnah Berurah. You should be aware that everyone agrees to this. I know about, I don't want to say any names, I know about a very, very big, one of the gedolei hadar,
yeah, sure,
who enjoyed having very long hair. Yeah?
Sure.
That, okay, I don't know about him, I know about someone else. There was a certain Gedolei Hadar, they took pride in that Hashem gave them a bracha, and they had very nice hair. And they grew it long. They were not embarrassed. And they commented. I don't remember the deal. Had I remembered, I would have paid close attention. They commented on this Mishnah Berurah and the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, where it says that besides the fact that it's Shachas and Gaiva, I don't remember the deals. They took note that not everyone agrees to this Mishnah Berurah and this Kiddush Shulchan Aruch.
But if you like long hair, isn't that Gaiva?
Why is it Gaiva?
I don't know.
If it's done L'Shem Shemaim, it says that Yosef was Mesalsel B'Sa'ara. Yosef HaTzadik, so he was 17 years old. So do we even come anywhere near the level of sanctity of Yosef HaTzadik? He's almost one of the Avos. He's like the fourth Av. So he was 17, he was Mesalsel B'Sa'ara. Obviously, he had
a... His mother didn't like it.
Hashem complained.
Rashi makes a comment about it.
Dad, you're forgetting about your father. Okay, but there's a negative prat, but in the big picture of things, obviously there was something he did it for a reason. Okay, whatever it is, it is. I just want to point out that don't get all worked up about this. Okay, it says this. Don't get all worked up about it. There are people that have long hair and they take pride in their long hair and they enjoy their long hair. Good for them. There are different opinions. There's diversity in halacha in the Hasidic world. They shave their hair. They don't like hair. Okay, that's fine. It represents the klipos and all these kabbalistic inyanim.
Even in some Litvish yeshiva, it's my substitute.
Yeah.
In the 20s, he ended up to be a big rabbi.
Yeah.
But he came into class that day, and everyone was just hooked in the front. And that's all they talked about for 20 years. He never got over it.
His hair.
They talked about this guy that choked. That he had a lot of nerve to come into
the 20s.
But in a regular Litvish yeshiva, not a Hasidic place.
A Litvish yeshiva. Okay. But there were Gedolei Yisrael that did have long hair.
Right.
And they didn't and
doesn't specify the definition of what's too long.
So
Belorios,
okay, I don't know. Belorios milvashu derech shachatz v'gaiva v'yesh b'zeh iser yesh ga'oid isna. What about a nazir? I'll prove to you. Yeah, so a nazir, a regular term of nazir is only 30 days. Probably most people don't get a haircut every 30 days. I would imagine more people get a haircut every 6 weeks. They get a haircut every, I think the average person gets a haircut about every 6 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. So 6 weeks is more than 30 days. A term of nazirus is 30 days. But then there's a concept called a nazir when you let your hair grow for a year. Or you specify a longer period of time. That's in Gemara Masechta Nazir. And then there's a Nazir Olam where you let your hair grow long forever.
Or an Avil for a whole year that doesn't cut
it. No, there's no such thing as an Avil a whole year. An Avil is allowed to cut his hair in two conditions. 30 days must pass. And someone must rebuke him and say, you know, I think it's time for you to get a haircut. You look horrible. If you only have one of those two conditions, he may not cut his hair. If after 20 days someone says to him, you know, I think it's time for a haircut, but 30 days have not yet passed, he's not allowed to cut his hair. If 40 days have passed and no one has rebuked him for his appearance, he's not allowed to cut his hair. He needs the combination of 30 days and a rebuke. Yeah, he's supposed to relieve him of his suffering.
Does a wife count?
You look kind of
a wife does count.
My neighbor on Sunday.
What?
I did it to my neighbor on Sunday.
So you're supposed to, after 30 days, you're supposed to tell him you need a haircut. So we have here low. So this is what it says in the Mishnah Berurah. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that it's gaiva and shachatz, and he says there is a problem of a chatzit. So let's see what it says in Yud Ches and Yutes. Yud Ches davar chaytzes in the bottom. Yud Ches davar chaytzes ve'intil l'shul b'sarayim shul shul ayin b'shal shul v'seimek. Amek halacha, v'minich tefillin b'tik shalohem, v'nizkar v'hesir atik ein tzach lachzor levarich aval b'yesh loy tikam melamata tachas mavarta v'atik turo We had this shal before. If you put on your tefillin, the old type of tefillin where the tick only went around the top part of the bias. Today it's impossible. I mean, it's not impossible, but it could happen. You have your tefillin and you forget to take the tefillin out of the box. And you put it on your head in the plastic box. So that's a chatzitza, right? There's a chatzitza. What's the chatzitza? In between the tefillin and your head, you have the plastic box. Clearly, lo yatzo yidei chavasa, that's a real chatzitza. You must take off the tefillin and make a new bracha. But if you have one of those old pairs of tefillin where there is no box for the bottom part of the tefillin, the only box is for the top part of the tefillin, which protects it, and you put on those tefillin, and then you realize the box is still resting on, so you take off the box, you do not make a new bracha. Now it's interesting, really, he's contradicting himself, the Sha'arim is Allah, because we learned back in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillin that some disagree with this halacha, because that you do need to make a new bracha on the tefillin, because the purpose of the tefillin shel rosh is that it should be seen. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha. And if you're wearing your tefillin shel rosh and the shin is covered, lo yatsa, you have not fulfilled the essence of what the tefillin shel rosh is all about. What about the tefillin shel yad? So he presented two opinions. He presented one opinion that the tefillin shel yad is compared to the tefillin shel rosh, and it also should be exposed, and it's not proper to having those plastic covers on the tefillin shel yad either. The whole thing should be exposed. He then went on to say that's not the minug. The minug olam is v'hayal l'cholaos. The tefillin shel yad can be 100% covered, and you can keep on the tefillin shel yad that plastic case to protect the corners from getting rounded. That is perfectly fine, and that is what the custom is. But of course, there should not be chatzitza between the bottom of the tefillin shel yad and your basar. But the tefillin shel rosh l'chatchila should be exposed. Here he's telling us that if you did not expose the tefillin shel rosh and you realize that it was covered, you take off the kiss, you do not need to make a new bracha as long as there was no chatzitza underneath the tefillin shel rosh themselves. And we even learned before that it's not proper to take the talis and completely cover the tefillin shel rosh. The tefillin shel rosh shall be exposed to some degree. People shall be able to see that you're wearing the tefillin shel rosh. But you do not make a new bracha. If you do, take off the kiss after you realize that it's on your head. Yutes, aval ismer galim b'loros, those people that grow long hair, kach kosam achsa shekel, diim gedolim harbe, yesh rem chatzitza. If the hair is very, very long, it's considered a chatzitza. V'erach ha-shulchan kosav yesh reitzim l'hachmir, kishasar gadol ma'od, it is very large. V'ein l'hachmir b'hasar ha-teva ha-gadol b'mukam, but if it's regular hair, even though it's slightly long, but it's natural, this is the way people go around with hair in that fashion, it's not a chatzitza. But if it's extremely long, and the hair that grows in this part of the head, it's covering part of the head, the back of the head, it's so long that it's going all over your head, that bezevadai yesh chatzitza. So this is the Derech HaShulchan. Derech HaShulchan is very machmir. He holds, there's no playing games here. If the hair is extremely long, lo yatsu, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of wearing tefillin. V'ampri megodim, shevi mirashi, desar orech hayotzei shloim b'mukam b'choytzei. Rashi also holds that if the hair leaves the normal place where it grows, it's very long, it's a chatzitza. Avol b'mukam, when it's located in the chutz, of course, you're not going to go shave your head bald, put on a pair of tefillin. That's ridiculous. But regular hair, which grows in that location, is not a chatzitza. Ayin sham. The ayin b'chassan sefer. The hamagadlim b'loiros yesh b'zeh bitla sederaisa. He says a person goes his whole life, you have very long hair, and you put on tefillin, so you're not making a mitzvah tefillin, and you mevadlim b'tla sederaisa. The sefer, besides the fact also, you're making a bracha levatala, according to these opinions, which the Sha'arim Salach is a very big favor of, bracha levatala. The sefer, ois chayim l'hagoyin mimunka. Hello, the Rak Midraban, and you see what he says, the Munkach, a Hasidisha. He says, not so. Not so. You have very, very long hair, no matter how long it is. The Rak Midrabanon Yesh Khashash Chatzitza. See, I told you, only here to learn Kulus. Learn Kulus, the Mishneh Berurah doesn't bring this down, and the kids doesn't bring this down, but he's bringing this down that you should be aware that not everyone, when you see someone, because Amol, you do see people. You see people like this. You see also like Bali Tshuva, and you see Gerim. They're not ready yet, you know, to go bald. They're not ready to go Al Kiddush Hashem yet. You know that expression? It's a bar expression. They're not ready to go bald. They're not ready. So in the meantime, they enjoy. It's don't get worked up and insult them and tell them this is a chatzitza deraisa. You're making a bracha levatola lo yastei chavaso. He see the munkach himself holds that it's only osam medrabon. It's not a din deraisa. There's yesh al milismach that it's not a deraisa. Okay, next. Now let's go to Zion. Yizoyer b'tfila shel yad shel yozis hakeshem nabayis. Be very careful that the tfila shel yad, the yud should touch the bayis. The gam kishahein b'sech kist, even when the tfilin are in the kist, they're in your tfilin bag, the yud should always be in contact with the bayis. Sometimes it doesn't say, they try to make the mavarta very narrow, so when they put in the ritzuos, there's so much pressure, the yud will not separate it from the bayis. It doesn't always work. So the minhag serve today is they tie a gid, a sinew. The sinew goes to the mavarta and it's tied to the yud and it ties it with pressure against the bayis. The hayud shall kesher yelitzat halev. The yud shall be towards your heart. When you tie the tefillah, there's a difference between the lefty and the righty. But when they tie on the ritzuos, the yud shall be towards the heart, towards your body. With a shas hatchak, what happens? To go, for example, iter shumaniach b'yimin. If you are a lefty and you're putting on the tefillin on your right hand, not on your left hand, the ata inlay tefillin ella shulim. And now you come to a shul, you don't have tefillin, and you wonder you're a lefty, so you put tefillin on your right hand, and you're borrowing, and you only can find tefillin to borrow from a righty, and the righty puts on the left hand, and the left hand, the yud is on the wrong. If you put on the tefillin the normal way, the yud is going to be on the wrong side. Think about it. If you're a righty, so you're putting tefillin on your left hand. On your left hand, where is the yud? The tefillin go forward. It is on the right side. The yud is on the right side. You're a lefty. So I'm going to borrow a righty's tefillin. I borrow the righty's tefillin. I put it on my right hand. Where is the yud? The yud is on the right side. But the yud is supposed to be towards my heart. Being that I'm a lefty, the yud is supposed to be on the left side. On the left side. So what do you do? So you don't put the tefillin on in the regular way, you turn the tefillin backwards. There's no prohibition. It's a very big chiddush. When you put on the tefillin shel rosh, it's a very big hakpada, how the tefillin shel rosh. But on the tefillin shel yad, because anyway, it's rolled around, it's wrapped up, you turn the bayis backwards, and you put on the tefillin, and then you're going to be tying it lower down, as we make the knot, and that way the yud will be facing your heart. So the iter yad, shasat chak, going iter lefty, shul b'nich b'yimin, v'yata in lo tefillin ella shulin, b'misha b'nich b'smol, from a person who puts on the tefillin on his left hand, because dealing with a regular righty, v'chay nipcha, v'ein yachal l'shanis ha-kesher, and you don't have the skill to undo the knot, and it's not advised, even if you do have the skill, your friend is not going to be very pleased with you taking apart his tefillin and changing the ritzuos, im kein b'nich b'fin zeh, the hamavarta l'tzad ma'il v'abas if you're going to put on the normal way with the mavarta towards the upper part of your body and the titura towards the lower part of your body, the yud is going to be on the wrong side of the tefillin. Al kain, so what should you do? Yahapoch. You shall turn the tefillin around. V'yanicha, and you shall put it down on your arm. B'shehamavarta tia litzad mat, the mavarta will be towards the lower part of your arm. V'yabai sad ma'la, k'dei shetia hayu v'yakesh litzad halef. Let's see here.
Just wondering if that's going to make it, when you tie it on your arm, if you're going to end up
you're going to be going the wrong direction. You're going to be going the wrong direction, but that doesn't make a difference, because even when it comes to Chatila Ashkas and Sad, anyway, go the wrong direction. It's not, there's no equal in which direction you wrap the resource. Of how, of which direction to go. Do you go forward, do you go backwards? It all depends how it's tied. You can tie it two different ways. So it's going to mean that if you're all Ashkenazim and you're all doing it, you're all wrapping the tefillin towards your body, and if you are a lefty and you borrow your friend's tefillin, he's a righty, and you're going to, and he's an Ashkenazi, and he normally wraps it towards his body, and you're going to turn it the other way around, you're going to end up wrapping the ritzuos away from your body. No, you can make the shin differently. You have to just do it differently. You have to do like a... You just do it differently. You just do the svarish way. But the point is, the only thing which really counts are the three things around the finger. And the chanam, you're going to have to go wrap the ritzuos in a different fashion, and that does not make a difference.
The
only thing.
Ambidextrous.
Oh, so does ambidextrous. That's a very big problem. What do you do? So does ambidextrous. Someone is fully ambidextrous. So what do you do? We'll get to later on. Basically, you change, right? You, it's a chumrah. It's not mikra hadin that you have to put on tefillin. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah.
You gotta change the tefillin to the other side, to the other arm. You don't make a bracha though. You don't make another bracha. You don't make a bracha. The ikur is like a righty. You follow the group of the olma, and you put it on the other hand for a few minutes.
But generally, you do certain things one way. You know.
Oh, that's machloikas. Right.
You're gonna.
If you write, big machloikas.
So Moshe said, write and eat.
That's the ikur. That's what determines.
Yeah, but that's what he.
But then there is the. Who's the other shit? The Gra? There's a differing opinion. It's a big machlokes. People do different things. And okay, we'll come to that a little later on. But right now we have over here this halacha of the, so. In other words, you always have to discover your priority, and in this halacha we're learning a very important yisod. The priority in the tefillin shel yad is the yud shall face your heart. That is your number one priority. When you put on the pair of tefillin, there's the mavarit. The mavarit is the back, the top part, and then there's the tetur, the front. Normally, when you put on tefillin on your arm, the front is in the front and the back is in the back. Then when you put on tefillin, there's a certain way of how you wrap the ritzuos. Do you go away from your body or do you wrap it towards your body? Ashkenazim typically wrap the ritzuos towards the body. Sfaradim wrap it away from their body. The kesher is made in a different way depending on if you're Ashkenazi or Sfaradi. Along comes, now we have a problem. What's the problem? You are a lefty and you only have available tefillin that belong to a righty. So it's not going to work. If you're going to put the tefillin on your weaker hand, if you're a lefty, you can put it on your right hand. The result, well, that is essential. No one disagrees. That is the number one priority. That a lefty puts the tefillin on the right hand and a righty puts his tefillin on the left hand. That is the top priority. That is a given. Next priority. We're putting the tefillin on the right hand, on the weaker hand. The next priority is the yud that is tied, the kesher, which is formed in the shape of the letter yud, that is tied to the side of the tefillin, must be closer towards your body. If you are a lefty and you're wearing righty's tefillin, you have to compromise on the other hidurim, which you're not going to be able to put the tefillin on forward. You're going to have to reverse the tefillin, put them on backwards to make sure that you fulfill the number two priority of having the yud towards your body. And that's also going to come at the expense of not wrapping the ritzuos in the way that you are familiar. You're going to have to tie the ritzuos in the opposite direction. And as Rabbi Mayevsky said, when you come down to the fingers, it's going to get even more complicated. So one thing, you're going to wrap seven times in the direction that you're not familiar with. Okay, so you're driving the wrong side of the highway. But when you come to the hand, so it's not going to go so well. Then you're going to have to figure out how to make that shin on your hand. You're going to have to ask the svardi next to you, how do you do that on your arm? What are the steps? But the critical thing is really just to wrap it around your finger three times. Okay, let's see what it says over here. Base, shloyaz on the bottom. Shloyaz is a kesher min abayis. It's critical that the kesher, the yud, shall not move away. It shall always make contact with the bayis. Ayin b'sh Shailus Chuvus to Shuras Shai, the Tsar Shai Yud Shalakesha Yedovik Lahabais. Now, where should the Yud touch? Should the Yud touch the main section of the Tfilin, or can the Yud touch the Mavarta? Lechatchila, the Yud should touch the Bias. It's not sufficient to have the Yud touch the Mavarta, the lower portion of the Tfilin, the back and the front and the part that sticks out on all four sides. The Yud shall touch the actual middle section of the tefillin. That's what it should touch. Which the parshas are within the lo dai sheyehe davak lemavarta. Which the parshas are within the lo dai sheyehe davak lemavarta. It's not sufficient for it to touch the mavarta. Avol, but the shalos shuvas avni nezer mitzadeid the dai im davak lemavarta the bidiyaved. If it touches the mavarta, it's also okay. Sometimes the ritzus, they're not tied on properly, and it's only touching the malart, that's not touching the bayis, that's also kosher b'diavad. Now what happens is very common with you, it is not touching. Sometimes you have it and just not touching. So you have to go to a sofer. You got to go to a sofer, and they have to go and redo the ritzus, retie the ritzus, and maybe use the gid. Is it an emergency? Should a person panic that today I have not fulfilled the mitzvah of tefillin because my yud did not touch the bayis? So I've heard from different posts over the years that no, it's not an emergency. This is a hiddur. L'chatchila, the yud should touch the bayis. 24/7. When you're wearing it, it should touch the bayis. And when you put it away in your tefillin bag, it shall touch the bayis. But in the event that it gets loosened and the yud is not making 24/7 contact with the bayis, not even when you're wearing it, especially if you're Ashkenaz. So when you're Ashkenaz, you tie it, you tie the knot, you wrap it towards your body. So when you bake the kesher, that causes the kesher not to touch the bayis. If you nusach svard, you'll take note, and when you make the kesher, tying the knot on the tulin causes the yud to make contact with the bayis. In Ashkenaz, when you tie the kesher, you tighten it, the pressure forces the knot away from the bayis. So you need a better... It has to be done better for those who daven, those who put on ashkenaz, and those who do svart. But in any event, in the event that the yud is not touching the bayis, it's not an emergency. It can go like that for a period of time. But of course, you should eventually go to a sofer and have it repaired so that the yud is always touching the bayis. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll take a break.